If you have your Bibles today, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. Before we jump into it, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to Christ Jesus alone. He's the one who is worthy and deserving of all of our praise. So this church is built on the praise and the worship of Christ Jesus, not any man, personality, or experience. It's based on Jesus. So we're going to worship him today, and all glory belongs to him. In case you missed last week, we talked about a message called Turn Down for What? And we talked about the importance of turning down our flesh, picking up our cross, and walking in the Spirit. We discovered that in the Word, the war over sin, the war over darkness, the war over hell and the evil of this world has already been defeated, but the battles still continue to rage on, even in the life of the redeemed. And it is important for us to take our daily cross and to crucify our selfish passions for the sake of others, that Christ might be seen through us. Also last week, we discovered that any man, woman who would suffer with Christ Jesus, you shall also be united with him in the resurrection life. And that the only way to new life is to first taste death. We talked about last week, we're going to turn down the flesh, pick up our cross, and walk in the Spirit. And this morning, we're continuing part two of that message called Turn Down for What? And this morning, we're going to pick up in Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. What we're going to be talking about this morning is just it's almost been a footnote of the greater message of the cross. But we're going to zoom in on this today and look at it, because in just a couple verses of the gospel, it proclaims life and our purpose is hidden right within it. Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 21. A man named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the country just then, and they forced him to carry Jesus's cross. Simon is the father of Alexander and Rufus, and they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means Skull Hill. And that's all I want to read to you from the Gospel of Mark. Now, there's this interesting character that Mark mentions, and his name is Simon of Cyrene. Simon is not just mentioned in the Gospel of Mark, but he's also mentioned in all synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention this certain man named Simon the Cyrene. And I want to just paint the picture just a little bit clearer, because the Bible only gives us a couple verses. But when you study this and you really look into what was happening and who this man was, it just paints a beautiful, spectacular picture that preaches to our life right here, right now today. And it compels us to live out the purpose of the cross. The first thing that we have to understand is that Simon, this man that the Gospels point out, he was from Cyrene. Cyrene is in modern-day Libya, which is in northern Africa. There were a great number of Jews who had settled in the city of Cyrene at this time period, which is about 33 AD. Simon traveled from Cyrene all the way to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, which had been celebrated amongst the Jews since the time of slavery and bondage in Egypt. You remember when Moses came to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh kept denying and denying and denying. And then finally, God wiped out the firstborn of all the household of Egypt. Only the blood of the lamb protected the Israelites from the spirit of death taking their children. And that's where the festival of Passover came from, because the spirit of death passed over the Hebrews. The blood saved them and spared them. So Simon travels all the way from Cyrene to Jerusalem to celebrate the Hebrew festival of Passover. But little did he know that he would come face to face with the Passover lamb himself. Little did Simon know along his journey as he traveled to Jerusalem that he had an appointment with destiny, and he had an appointment to meet Jesus face to face. The journey that Simon took to Jerusalem was not a weekend trip. By foot, it was 800 miles trekking around the Mediterranean Sea, along the North African coast, and up into the city of Jerusalem. On foot, it would have taken Simon from Cyrene literally 2 months, almost 60 days, to travel by foot. If he rode a camel or horseback, it would have taken him about half that time, still 30 days. This is a journey that someone from Cyrene would have taken once in a lifetime. Simon gathered up his family together, and they left Cyrene for Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish festival of Passover. As Simon and his family traveled the 800-mile journey, I guarantee you they were weary. It was an uncomfortable journey. They were weary. And as they saw Jerusalem, the gates of Jerusalem, I guarantee you they were relieved. They were excited. Any of you have ever taken a road trip, the infamous line, "Are we there yet?" His kids probably were driving him insane after 800 miles walking or riding some weird donkey. I mean, this dude was relieved to see Jerusalem. He was like, "Finally, I've made it." But little did we know, when just reading the text, in the city of Jerusalem during the Feast of Passover, the city of Jerusalem normally had about 50,000 residents. But during the festival of Passover, it escalated to 250,000 people. When Simon of Cyrene showed up from his long journey from Cyrene, he found himself in Jerusalem, a city that was built for 40,000, crammed to capacity with nearly a quarter of a million people gathered to celebrate the Feast of Passover. The streets were crowded. The streets were packed. They were dirty with the filth of the animals that had come through the way. People were shoving. People were pushing, all striving to get to the temple. And as Simon and his family arrive down the streets of Jerusalem, they find themselves clustered in and pushed around with the crowd until finally Simon ends up along the Via Dolorosa, which is the way of suffering, the way of the cross. And he winds up coming face to face with a band of criminals who are carrying their own cross, worthy of execution in his eyes. And they come down, three criminals carrying their cross, and one falls right in front of him. And the centurions randomly point out of the crowd, "You pick up this cross and carry it to Golgotha." You have to understand, Simon the Cyrene wanted no part of the cross. He was reluctant to pick it up. He had journeyed 800 miles from northern Africa to be there to celebrate at the temple. This is not the way he envisioned it would go down. This is not at all what he expected when he arrived at the city of Jerusalem. And he believes and feels like his journey is being rudely and abruptly interrupted. And now he is having to leave his family and help this criminal carry his own cross outside the city gates to Golgotha, the place of the skull. But something phenomenal happens. You see, Simon the Cyrene was in Jerusalem to celebrate the shedding of the blood of the Lamb that would bring his salvation. And never in a million years could he have imagined that the cross that he was carrying would be the Passover lamb whose blood was shed and spilled out for his redemption and for the redemption of the entire world. Simon the Cyrene carries the cross through the Via Dolorosa. Many scholars believe that Jesus started out carrying the cross, and as he walked the Via Dolorosa, he fell under the weight of the cross, which nearly weighed 300 pounds, and Simon the Cyrene picked it up and carried it following Jesus all the way down the Via Dolorosa, outside the city gates, up until the hill called Golgotha, which means skull hill, place of death. But the journey for Simon the Cyrene at Golgotha was far from over. In fact, that's where it all began. Because as Simon carries the cross to Golgotha, he watches the Roman centurions nail Christ to the tree and lift him between heaven and earth. And it is very much likely that Simon the Cyrene was one of the first, if not the first, convert to the Christian faith. From the time of taking on the cross initially, by the time he got to Golgotha, something within him had convinced him that surely this man, this one they called Jesus of Nazareth, was and is the King of all kings. That day that seemed like an abrupt interruption was the day that changed Simon Cyrene's life forever. We know that he converted to the faith at Calvary. He converted to become a follower of Jesus. And he raised Alexander and Rufus, his sons that are noted in the Gospel of Mark. He raises them to follow after Jesus. He teaches them diligently as they grow old, as they grow and mature physically and spiritually, to pick up their cross, deny themselves, and follow after this man called Jesus. We know this because in the book of Acts, twice, and even in the book of Romans, it mentions Alexander and Rufus, the sons of Simon, went on to carry the gospel, to set up the churches in Antioch, and to preach the coming of the Lord throughout the ends of the earth. Simon was one of the first converts to the faith. The reason I'm talking about this morning is because the story of Simon the Cyrene is really the story of you and I. It's really the story of you and I. You have to imagine, as Simon and his family are in the crowd, they are pulled out of the crowd, chosen, hand-selected by the Roman centurions to carry the cross. This morning, I want you to know that you didn't show up by accident today. I don't believe in accidents, and I don't believe in coincidence. God has a plan and a purpose, and he is ultimately sovereign above all things. This morning, the same call that was given to Simon the Cyrene is being given to you and to me today. Will you carry the cross? Will you deny yourself to follow after Jesus? Will you follow after him? Will you deny your own passions, deny yourself, and pick up the cross and follow him? Or will you turn it down for your own comfort and your own passions and your own desires? The story of Simon is the story of us. Listen, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you have made in your past. It doesn't matter how dark and how filthy your reputation is. The God who breathed life into you and created you in his image and after his likeness has called you by name, and he has called you to be a carrier of the cross, to be a carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has chosen every single one of you. He has called you by name, hand-selected, and chosen you to come out from the crowd. He's calling you to come out of the masses, to identify yourself as a follower of the way, and to pick up your cross and to follow after Jesus. The same call, the same choice, the same hand selection that happened with Simon the Cyrene is happening with you. If nowhere else today in this place, God is calling your name. He's calling your name, and he's calling mine to be carriers of the cross, carriers of the gospel. I'm telling you this morning, you and I have the best news the world has ever heard and will ever hear. We have the best news the world has ever heard. We have and carry the message of the gospel where we can do nothing and are powerless against our past. We have news today that God stepped out of heaven 2,000 years ago, took on our image, bore the human flesh, became image and the likeness of God, and he died in our place to erase our mistakes, to give us a fresh start, a new hope, a promise, and a new life. I'm telling you, that's the best news the world will ever hear. You could give him praise today. You ought to give him praise. You and I have been hand-selected by God to be carriers of the greatest news the world will ever know. And you know, I'm convinced that people who are atheists, who are agnostic, people who deny the faith, I believe this, that there are people who may have experienced Christians, but they have yet to experience our Christ. Because when you experience Jesus, oh, you can never go back to normal. When you've encountered Jesus, you cannot go back to the way that you used to be. I'm telling you this morning, it is our call. It is God's plan on our life, every single one of us, to live daily as carriers of the hope of the gospel into the world that is dead, dying, and desolate. If you have your Bibles, turn with me really quickly to Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. I want to show you something pretty awesome. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. If I could get there myself, that would be fantastic. How y'all doing this morning? Y'all doing good? All right, well, I'm going to tell it to you because I know it. I lost my mind. Philippians chapter 2 says this, that how much more in Christ's absence should we be obedient to the call that he's placed on our life? Philippians 2 says this, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the apostles, you have obeyed him well. But now when they go away, when Jesus returns to the Father, now much more should we be obedient to the call that he places on us. We're called to do much more in his absence than even in his presence. What that says to you and to I this morning is that it is our call as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. It is not optional for us to carry the message of the cross. It is not optional. If you want to follow Jesus, we must share it. We must give it. We must compel the lost with the gospel of Christ, and much more should we do in his absence. We've been called to be carriers of the best news the world will ever hear or ever know. Now flip back with me really quickly to Mark 15. Flip back with me really quickly to Mark 15 in verse 21. I want to point something out to you really close. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. A man named Simon, who is from Cyrene, was coming in. Look at your neighbor and tell him he was coming into the city. Tell him he was coming in. He was going in. Now here's the thing. And this is about to preach all day. You ready? But I'm not going to do that to you. Just don't get nervous. Simon the Cyrene was coming in to the city from the country. He was on his way in to the temple to celebrate Passover. But Jesus was leaving Pilate's house, and he was, after he'd been scourged, Jesus was on his way out. Simon was on his way in. Jesus was on his way out. The story of Simon the Cyrene preaches to you and I this morning. We've been called, we've been commissioned of God to be carriers of the Spirit of the Most High God, but our human nature still leads us to go in the opposite direction of him. We're going one way, he's headed another. But when Simon the Cyrene encountered Jesus, he changed directions and he turned around, and then he was more concerned about going out than he was about getting in. And I'm telling you, this will preach really good, and it should do us all really well to get a hold of this concept that Jesus carried the cross outside of the city gates. He was carrying the cross out to the world that was in need, and you and I ought to carry the message of the gospel out to the world that is in need. We should be more focused and more concerned about the lost that are dying outside the walls than what's happening within. We must be carriers to the outside. And just to take it a little step further, Simon the Cyrene carried the cross where? To Golgotha, the place of the skull, which means a dead place. Simon the Cyrene carried the cross into a dead place. You and I, our calling is exactly the same. We are called to carry the cross into the dead places of our world, into the desolate, lonely places of our world. Simon the Cyrene carried the cross right into the middle of that dead place. There are dead places all the way around us, spiritually, in a spiritual sense, where people are more concerned about satisfying the pleasures of the flesh rather than serving God. We are, listen, if you don't go, who will? If you don't carry it, who will? If you aren't bold enough to take the message of hope into the dead, dried, and desolate places, then who in the world will? We are the body of Christ, and we are called to do much more in his absence. We are the carriers of the gospel. Not just the pastors, not just the teachers, not just the worship leaders, not just the setup guys, not just the people who welcome and volunteer. Every one of us has been called and chosen of God to be carriers of the Spirit. But here's the deal. The Bible says this: the harvest is great, but the laborers, they are few. Many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? It means that the calling has been extended to every one of you. And what deciphers and distinguishes who is called and who's chosen is who chooses to answer the call. Have you chosen to answer his call this morning, to be a carrier of his Spirit? This morning, the name of this message is called Turn Down for What? And I want to encourage you that we will not turn down the message of the gospel for anything. We will not be silent. We won't turn down the volume of our gospel and our message for anything. We won't water it down for anything. We won't be ashamed of it for anything. We won't deny him for anything. We will turn down for nothing. We have the greatest message the world has ever seen, and we must live it out loud that the world might find hope in Christ Jesus through our lives. We'll turn down for nothing. We're not turning this down. James, the fourth chapter, says that for you and I to know what is good and to not do it, it is sin. For us to know to carry the message, for us to know to have the conversations, for us to know to love the people that everybody else runs away from, and to not do it, it's robbing them of the greatest gift that they could ever receive, and that is the gospel of Christ Jesus. And he has chosen you and called you to be a carrier of the Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you just really briefly this morning about three things that cause us to be reluctant in sharing the gospel. There are three things, three main things that cause us to shy away from carrying the message of truth to the world that's around us. There are three things, three reluctancies that even Simon of Cyrene had to face in the physical as he saw the cross drop before him. Number one, Simon the Cyrene was reluctant to pick up the cross. The Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, the centurions had to force him to carry it. The other Gospels said they had to compel him to carry it. These pretty pictures that you see or movies that you see where Simon's like, oh, me, hey, I'll carry it. That's not how it was. Simon was like, me? No, he'll carry it. No, Simon was reluctant to carry the cross. And number one, we are also reluctant to carry the cross because we're reluctant to leave the crowd. We don't want to leave the crowd because inside the crowd, there's safety. There's familiarity. We're just going with the flow. We don't have to stand out. But this morning, we won't turn down the message so that we can stay comfortable in the crowd. We cannot be reluctant to leave the crowd. I want to tell you a story really quickly. Out of high school, I had a scholarship, a partial scholarship, to play college basketball at a school named Wesleyan in West Virginia. And it was a big deal for me. It was something that I had dreamed of doing ever since I was a young man. I wanted to play college basketball. And when I showed up on campus and started to practice with the team and hang out with all the guys, it became a quick realization to me that That was a dead place. All that everybody wanted to talk about was partying, drinking, living it up, sleeping with this person and that person. It was a dark place. We would play basketball, and then all the conversation that would follow was about this, that, and everything that the conversation was about was something that was dead, something that was a dead end, something that would leave us emptier than how it found us. All the conversations, all the atmosphere was always about the pleasures of self, and it led to a dead end. And as I remember being a freshman in that scenario, I wanted the guys to accept me. I wanted them to like me. I wanted them to think I was a good player. I wanted them to think I was a great guy. I wanted to fit in just like anybody else. But there was something inside of me that said, you cannot compromise what you believe for the sake of belonging to this crowd. You cannot turn away from your relationship with Jesus for the sake of being accepted by men. And am I perfect? Far from it. But this is an example in my life where I had to choose to walk and leave the crowd behind for the purpose of taking up the cross and living so that Jesus could be seen inside of my life. As I began to consistently turn down the invitations to party, as I began to consistently turn down the invitations to run wild and do whatever our flesh pleased, it caused me to stand out. It caused me to be different. On the court, I fit in, but afterwards, I became an outstander, somebody that was out there all alone. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes it got awkward. Sometimes it got lonely. Sometimes it was a little embarrassing. When I would leave practice, everybody else would go out and have a blast. Sometimes I would sit at home and do nothing. Sometimes on the away games, I would have to ride, sit next to the coach and be bored to death. Sometimes it got a little bit awkward. But when you choose to walk out of the crowd, it's going to get a little awkward. But a little awkward will do you real good. Because when you're uncomfortable, you're growing and you're moving forward. And the first decision that we've got to make, if we're going to carry the gospel, we have to be willing to leave the crowd behind. We have to be willing to step out of the crowd. And I'm going to tell you what happened. As I began to just say, you know, hey guys, thanks for inviting me. Love you, but no, I can't do that. Not going to do that. You know, I'm not. As I began to consistently withdraw from those activities, pretty soon the guys began to take notice of me. They began to notice something is different about this dude. And they began to ask me questions. Why not? Why not? What? And the questions began to happen and happen and happen. Eventually, I left the team. Eventually, my freshman year, I said, you know what? I feel called to the ministry. I'm going to do this. And this environment is just not good for me. And I'm going to walk away and I'm going to leave. And so I actually gave up the basketball scholarship to pursue ministry. And then you want to know what happened? I was afraid that everybody would hate me. I was afraid that everybody would continue to bash on me. But you know what happened? Literally 2 weeks later, after I'd left the team, I was preaching at a church nearby. Guess who showed up? The whole team filed in. Why? I wasn't preaching at them. You're a sinner. You're horrible. I'm right. No. It wasn't any of that stuff, because just because I sin different doesn't mean I'm perfect. But they began to take notice because I somehow had the courage to walk away from the crowd. And what happened? They came to hear the message of hope in the gospel. I know it may not seem convenient right now for you to walk away from the environment that you're in. I know it might not seem comfortable right now for you to walk away, but you have been charged, you have been called by God to be a carrier of the gospel, and that means you, like Simon the Cyrene, might have to step away from the familiar. You might have to step away from the comfortable. You might have to step out of the atmosphere that you're used to so that you can lay hold of the cross. Picking up the cross is not a popular thing. It might get awkward. You might face a little embarrassment. You might even face a little ridicule. But to those who will suffer with Christ Jesus, you shall also take part in the resurrection life. I'm telling you, you cannot imagine the blessings and the favor and the promise of God and the work that He will do through you when you have the courage to step out and to be different. You were never created to fit in or to blend in anyway. God created you with a unique calling, a unique purpose and passion, and he has designed you to stand out. So this morning, I pray that some of you would begin to have the courage to step out of where you've been, because one step away from the crowd is one step closer to the cross. One step away from normal is one step closer to Jesus. And let me just preach to you for just a minute. You know, everybody thinks that, you know, I've had so many conversations with people and they just say, well, I want to be different. I want to be me. I want to be free. I want to be an individual. And they're usually telling me that when they want to go out in the world and do their own thing. They say this Christian thing is too cookie cutter. It's too boring. It's too lame. I got to be an individual. I got to be different. Well, look, the majority of the world is out there doing whatever they want to do, living however they want to live, drinking it up, partying it up. That's how it is. That's the normal. Well, if you want to be different, why don't you step out of the crowd? Why don't you step into the cross? Why don't you take a step towards Jesus? You really want to be different? You really want to be unique? You really want to be an individual? Then why don't you leave that mess behind and step into the promise that he has for you? And I'm going to tell you something right now. You may not be the most gifted speaker. You might not be a preacher, and I get that. But just the simple act of walking away from the things that everybody else is doing will cause them to take notice that you're carrying something different. And they will take notice of the gospel that is at work within you. I believe some people are going to step out today. I believe that the word of God is going to inspire some people to step out of the crowd and leave some things behind. But be prepared. Count the cost. Because as Simon picked up and shouldered the cross, he faced the same ridicule and the same humiliation that Jesus faced along the way down the Via Dolorosa. Jesus said, if they despise me, they'll despise you, but any man who would suffer with me shall also reign with me. I'm telling you, it's so beautiful. Number one, we don't carry the cross because we're afraid to step out of the crowd. Number two, and this one is my favorite, and I'm about to go off on you for a minute real quick. This is my favorite. This is the number one reason why people don't shoulder the cross. This is the number one reason why people are not carriers of the message. This is the number one reason that people do not share their faith with other people. You know what it is? I hear this all the time. They say, well, I would, but see, I don't know enough. I would tell them about Jesus. I would share my faith, but I'm just not on that level yet. I don't know enough. Time out. That's the same instinct that had to go through Simon the Cyrene as he stood amongst the crowd and he looked at Jesus carrying the cross. He had to say, I don't know enough about this man to pick up that cross. I don't know enough about this situation to get involved here. I don't know about that. But he picked up the cross anyway. You might not have all the answers to all the agnostics. You might not have all the answers to the atheists. You might not. You might not know very many scriptures. You might not know any at all. But I got a little news for you. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies those in whom he calls. And if he calls you, he will equip you. If he sends you, he will provide for you. His Spirit is our comforter that will never leave us and never forsake us. And in our time of need, he will whisper the answers that you need. He will draw you. He will lead you. He will give you the supernatural confidence that you need to walk in obedience and to share the gospel with those who are in need. You still don't believe me? Your Bible tells a funny story in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 22, God used a donkey to talk. God used a donkey. And if God can use a donkey, he can use you. If he can speak through that thing, those ugly things, he can speak through you. If he can use a donkey, he can use you. You believe it? Look at your neighbor and tell him, if God can use a donkey, he can use you. Let him know. And I know that that's extremely lame. But sometimes the lamer it is, the more you just stick with it, the more you just remember it. So I'm not afraid to get a little awkward with you. We got to be carriers of the cross. And I don't ever want to hear somebody tell me, well, I would, but I just don't know enough. I would, but I just don't know enough. Let me just tell you something. You'll never know enough. You'll never. If you're waiting till you know it all, if you're waiting till you get a PhD in theology, then you might as well just fold it up. He qualifies those in whom he calls. And if he sends you, he will provide for you. And you know, I just gotta let you in on this. Christians get this misconception that carrying their faith or sharing their faith means that they have to preach to somebody at the water cooler. You are a sinner. That is sin. You need grace. And they start to preach. Look, I'm gonna tell you something. Sometimes people don't need to hear your sermon. People just need to hear your story. Sometimes people don't need to hear you preach. They just need to know that you care. There's an old saying that says people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the essence of sharing your faith matters not on what you know, but by your love and that you care. The Bible says that we as Christians, followers of Jesus, we shall be known by our love. And can I just be real with you for just like 5 seconds? I think we really do have a love problem. I think we really do. Because I think the problem is we love ourselves more than anybody else. But the word says, how can you love a God that you have not seen unless you can love man who you have? I don't know if you heard what I just said, but how can you love a God who you have never laid eyes on if you can't love his image? It's right in front of you. And such as we've done to the least, so we've done it unto him. This morning, sharing your faith doesn't matter how much you know. What matters is, do you love him? Do you care enough to share your story? You know, I got to just slip this in real fast. I promise we're going to move on. But people get all caught up in, I got to quote all these scriptures and I got to memorize all that. And look, you should memorize it. You should study. You should be a student of the word and let it be written upon your heart. No question about it, because it will give you the strength and the confidence to tackle these difficult questions that come your way. No doubt about it. And I promise one of these series that we'll do in the upcoming months, I'll do a series about apologetics. How do we defend our faith? How do we talk to somebody that doesn't believe? Because that will just wreck your world. I've done it at C4 a couple times, but it'll just get you pumped. But here's the deal. The most powerful thing you can do to share the gospel with somebody who's in need, the most powerful way to carry your cross into a dead and desolate situation, is for you to share your testimony, the story of how God took a broken vessel and made you whole. See, that's the essence. That's the beauty of the gospel, is your story. And you might not know a lot of scripture, but I guarantee you, you know what happened to you. I guarantee you, you know about your past and you know about what Jesus did to give you a better future. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter, that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. Your testimony is what has the power to set other people free, because if they can witness the miracle of God through you, then they can just have the faith to believe that God could do it in them. If you believe it and you're thankful, give him praise today and put your hands together and thank the Lord that he saved you, he redeemed you, he gave you a testimony, not to keep it to yourself, but to share it with other people. A lot of Christians are afraid and they don't want to share their testimony. They don't want to share their story because they're too preoccupied with pretending like they're perfect and like they never made a mistake. Please, please get over yourself. Please, please. Romans spilled the secret for you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all but one. Just because you sin differently, just because you're ashamed of it, doesn't mean you should withhold the truth from people who might be struggling with the exact same thing. Don't rob them of their freedom. Don't rob them of their faith and their ability to know Christ through the work that he's done within you. Also, just want to encourage you one more thing. I'm sorry, just get really pumped about this. Actually, I'm not sorry, because this is, you need to hear it. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in the tongue, in your words, meaning that you have the power to set people free. You have the power to point people towards Jesus. You have the power to show them Jesus, who is life and life personified. I told you, there's three things that make us reluctant to carry the cross. Number one, we're reluctant to leave the crowd because the crowd is comfortable. In the crowd, it's easy. In the crowd, we can blend in and fly under the radar. But when we begin to stand out, we begin to be different. We begin to be challenged and we face ridicule and maybe embarrassment and awkwardness. Number two, we're reluctant because we feel like we don't know enough. We don't know enough about the situation. We don't feel like we're equipped. But I want you to know that if God calls you, he will qualify you. And he has called you. He just requires your obedience. And if you'll step out in faith, he'll meet you right there. Number three, the last thing that I'm talking about to you this morning is that we are reluctant to carry the cross because we are afraid to get our hands dirty. You have to imagine 2,000 years ago as Simon the Cyrene stands and looks down at the cross. We see it in movies. We paint this picture in our head as though it was some majestic, sovereign halos floating over people's heads. It was like, oh, no. It was disgusting. It was nasty. It was filthy. That cross was blood-stained, tear-stained, sweat covered that cross, let alone the road that it fell upon. I'm just going to paint the picture just as quick as I can without grossing you completely out. Animals were the main means of transportation. And what do animals do? And they don't matter. It doesn't matter where they are. All over the road. It was filthy, disgusting. It was a mess. The cross was laying in that mess. Jesus had fallen in that mess. And Simon the Cyrene had a choice to make. Am I going to turn down? Am I going to turn away? Or am I going to step into this filthy situation and take it on? Or am I just going to blend into the crowd like everybody else? This morning, you have the same decision that faces your life this morning. Are you too afraid to get your hands dirty? Because I'm going to tell you, when you carry the cross, there's a little bit of filthiness that comes with it. When you share the gospel with other people, you're going to get your hands dirty. They might start crying. They might start telling you the mistakes that they've made. They might start telling you some deep stuff that you're not used to. You might have to get your hands a little dirty. You might have to reach in and reach down into the muck and the mire like Jesus did for you to lift them up and to lift them high. You might have to sacrifice your time. It might be a little inconvenient to lift somebody else's needs above your own. You say, well, I have my own problems. I have my own concerns. I have my own things I'm struggling with. Listen, as you begin to reach into the needs and the cares and the pain of other people, it will be messy. But as God uses you to alleviate their pain, he will alleviate yours. It's the word. If you bless his people, he will bless you. He just will. We cannot be afraid of getting our hands dirty, of jumping into these dark places and loving people. I just got to tell you one other thing as the band comes back to help me close. Christians, man, we get this thing twisted. And there's a fine line in what I'm about to say, so I pray that you hear this. Christians, we look at people who are sinners, who have problems, who struggle. And sometimes religion teaches us to give them the stiff arm and be like, you over there. I'm only going to get so close. Sometimes religion teaches us to push people away, almost that we're self-righteous, we're better. We don't struggle with those things. But I just want to just drop this on you real fast. Jesus was never too good to hang out, to speak into the lives of those who were the least of the world. Jesus spent time in the house of a tax collector. Jesus stepped into the dead place and spent time with an adulterer, with a woman who had been convicted of adultery. Jesus stepped in to the lives of thieves, into the lives of criminals. He wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. He wasn't afraid to reach into those places. Now hear me and hear me well. If you struggle with a certain sin, it is not wisdom for you to say, if you struggle with alcohol, it's not wise for you to say, well, I'm going to go into the bar and I'm going to set everybody free. No. You got to use a little bit of wisdom. But I'm saying, don't ever be so self-righteous. Don't ever be so good or so Christian that you can't have a conversation and you can't love and be friendly to somebody who is wrapped up in the snarls of sin. It's a fine line. You can be in the world, but not of it. Jesus could sit with the drunkard, love them, and not be drunk. He could sit with the angry, love them, extend peace, and never let anger control him. You can be in the world, but not of it. We are not too good to reach into people's lives who are broken and who are in need. I know a lot of Christians who don't even know people who are lost. That's a problem. Jesus fellowshiped with the least likely. Let me pray over you this morning. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the privilege of calling us to carry the cross. Thank you for the privilege of using us to carry the greatest news the world will ever hear. Thank you, God, that you didn't just create us to be spectators, to watch from the sideline, but you have called us, you have ordained us, and you have empowered us and equipped us to be carriers of hope to the nations. And I pray this morning that we would no longer be reluctant, we would no longer resist the opportunity to share our faith, but we would do it wholeheartedly with bold and with zeal. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 7, says, beautiful are the feet upon the mountains of those who bring the good news. Beautiful are the feet of those who carry the gospel. Beautiful are you who carry the hope of eternity with you. Beautiful are you who share your faith with those who are in need. I just want to preach one more thing really fast in closing today. I want you to imagine the cross with me just for a minute. Obviously, there's a head and there's two arms, and then the length of the body of the cross that reaches down. I want you to hear this. One day studying this, God just really opened my eyes to something that I had never seen before. And it is this. The cross is a symbol of salvation. The head, where the head was symbolic of the Father. The right arm, symbolic of the Son. The left arm, symbolic of the Spirit. And the three Trinity coming together in one point right in the center, reaching down into the earth, connecting heaven to earth, allowing for redemption and for earthen vessels to be connected with the Godhead, with the God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And when you carry the cross, you carry the best news the world has ever seen. And that is that there is an opportunity for them to know God and be connected with heaven here on earth.